We're back.
We are back.
We're back in the car. It's Pat Brennan. It's Lindsey Patterson. FC Cincinnati prevails. Kinda. It feels like they prevailed, doesn't it?
Yeah, I definitely...
In a way, they did.
When you watched that match, it was physical. It was a tough battle, definitely in the first 45 with FC Cincinnati. I said it before in our first part one on the way down to Nashville. I feel like there's a rivalry that's brewing between the two clubs. And again, we'll be able to see it since both are MLS expansion clubs down the road too. But that was a tough environment.
Yeah.
And credit to FC Cincinnati, their unbeaten streak continues.
Yes. So FC Cincinnati in Nashville, soccer club. Draw, 0-0, scoreless draw at Nissan Stadium. A little bit of a bumpy pitch situation here, but what really matters, Lindsey, right now, as I said on the way down here, in all of this, I'm most concerned about me and us. And we are now back, on the road. We have the vast balance of a four-hour journey ahead of us, and we're currently hurtling up I-65 toward Louisville and eventually Cincinnati. We are on schedule for about a 4:30 a.m. arrival, and there's a good chance you and I see the sunrise before we lay our heads on our respective pillows tonight, which... What are your thoughts now that we're on our way back? I mean, this was crazy of us.
Why
did we do this? It was a series of miscommunications, right? Because, like, we could have stayed. You could have stayed with friends. I probably would have stayed over somewhere. But, I mean, hey, here we are. YOLO!
I honestly like the journey. I like the one-day trip.
I mean, it's a story.
Getting in and out. Credit to Pat. We were sitting in a Burger King parking lot. Sorry, that's our GPS kind of breaking in.
She's still here.
But Pat was sitting in a Burger King parking lot and finishing his story. So credit to him. He knocked it out, and I had a kid's meal. Big fan of those.
Yeah.
But back to our mileage. We actually, Pat said about 4 hours. It's 3 hours and 48 minutes to go and 262 miles.
I'm rounding up because...
Because you're driving.
I'm a masochist and I'm into self-loathing.
Well,
so I round up and I assume the worst.
I'm having a really good time, but I'm not the one
no,
driving.
No, no. I'm having a great time with you, Lindsey.
But honestly, I'm going to be completely honest. There's kind of a rule with road trips, especially when you're the passenger, that you can't fall asleep. And Pat almost lost me.
I knew it. I told you. I called her out on it. It got a little too quiet.
It did.
And it's that time of night. I mean, it's 11:44 as I speak at this moment. Central time. So we're going to lose an hour on the way back. But it was a little too quiet. I knew Lindsey was fading. And I don't blame her. And we've kind of come to a crossroads in a conversation that she and I were having on the way down here, which is regarding passenger etiquette for road tripping, particularly long-haul road tripping. And this is a long haul. Like I said, we, in all seriousness, we are going to get back between 4:30 and 5 p.m. Right now, we're still...
5
a.m.? 5 a.m., yeah. You can see this is a... This is going to be an enlightened conversation. I mean, I'm looking ahead at suburban Nashville traffic. I'm seeing all taillights in front of me. You know, we have a long voyage ahead of us. And
there was almost an accident in front of us.
Cars are swerving. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria, as Bill Murray would say.
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. There are rules. And you can, again, if you're listening, Mom, Dad, tomorrow when you listen.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
You can tweet us.
Jason,
And let us... Yeah, Boss Man, Jason Hoffman, if you're listening. Yeah, definitely. There's some road trip etiquettes, and I'm not going to lie. I think if someone is driving, the worst thing you can do is fall asleep in the passenger seat. And I was getting a little tired, but I'm up. Now that we're doing this podcast, really pumped about traveling back to Cincinnati, kind of going back to FC Cincinnati really quick. feel like...
We will talk about the match.
Yeah, we will talk about the match. I do feel like that was a great point on the road. It was a tough battle for this club, but they're going to be coming back home for about another month and a half, and what they can do when it comes to USL standings and grabbing those home points will be huge. Pittsburgh does play tomorrow. That'll be Sunday, whenever you're listening to this. We're coming back on a Saturday, soon to be Sunday morning.
It is Sunday in Cincinnati.
It is Sunday in Cincinnati time. So Pittsburgh will play later today.
Or yesterday,
depending on when you're listening to this podcast. So that'll be interesting to make things for the Eastern at least a fun battle as we are finishing the second half of USL play in 2018. Yeah. So, FC Cincinnati, they of course always want to get the 3 points on the road or at home, but I just think it was a good point on the road.
Yeah, wow. The first half was really what I would call a slog. It was very physical, and the game really wasn't flowing, at least not for FC Cincinnati. It was almost like the field was tilted downward toward Evan Newton, and the ball just kept coming at him and coming at him. And Nashville had 13 shots in the first half. Evan Newton was pressed into three saves, one of which was just an absolutely fantastic point-blank save on a great header. Nashville will probably feel on the night like, how did we not score a goal and convert one of our 20 shots? But credit to Evan Newton for keeping them out on what was easily their best chance of the match in the first half there. Lebo Maloto with the header from close range. And Evan Newton just stonewalled him, and that was probably the most significant piece of work he had to do on the night, on a night when FC Cincinnati earns its fourth clean sheet in the last six games, seventh overall, and Evan Newton's sixth of the USL campaign, Lindsay. It was, just getting back to the first half, and I'll stop rambling and let you get a word in, maybe. FC Cincinnati was, I think, by their own admission, they played not up to their standard. It was sloppy. I thought the midfield was disconcertingly quiet. I wrote that in my analysis after the game. They were physically present in terms of impact in the game. They were not present, at least not all four of them. But they managed to somehow stave off an incredible flurry of chances from Nashville in the first half. And they got into halftime at 0-0. And that was, halftime was kind of the turning point, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, definitely.
You had a chance to talk to Alan Koch going into the locker room. What did he tell you during that? I didn't get a chance to hear it, of course, in the press box. What was that conversation like?
I kind of just saw tonight as more of a positive match, definitely in the second 45 of what they were able to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, and talking to Alan at halftime, he pretty much admitted it was going to be a tough battle going in, and they knew that. But I go into the dressing room at halftime and gather thoughts of what the coach is telling the players and came back out and talked about that. But it's a big thing that Alan has talked about through his time with FC Cincinnati, and it's always about managing moments. And he had mentioned, hey, it's scoreless right now. It's just going to take one of those moments for us to capitalize on, and we can win this game. And we've seen that from this team all season long. And similar to Nashville, FC Cincinnati, there were so many almost moments late in the second 45 that you're like, oh, my goodness. Like, they almost had their goal. So I think it was just it was the second 45 was really exciting for this club.
It was
and credit to Evan Newton too for some amazing.
No,
saves.
It was. I didn't mean to put
a
negative slant. I was just kind of setting
you
things
know
up.
Me, always positive.
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, I was just setting things up to kind of laying the groundwork for our telling of the second half, our retelling of it.
I see what you're doing.
Because it was Alan made a tactical change. They went to a 4-2-3-1. And that really, but it wasn't just tactical though. And he talked about that after the game. Go to Cincinnati.com and hear, listen to his thoughts on how and why that changed the mentality of the team, because it's not just the, you know, a 4-4-2 or a 4-2-3-1 or any formation isn't going to work if the players aren't committed. That has been the hallmark of FC Cincinnati this season, commitment and zest for the game. That is what it was missing in the first half. They had it in the second half, Lindsay, and it was a much more even game, and they almost nicked it at the end, yeah. Incredibly. And I thought, you know, for as badly as things looked in the first half, and I think the situation was pretty dire at times, just because they were just facing shot after shot from Nashville. Alan Koch's substitutions came on, and Emery Welshman had a fantastic chance. To the credit of Nashville goalkeeper Matt Pickens, also had a fantastic game. Arguably a better game than Evan Newton did.
That's his 9th clean sheet, too. So the guy is having a season.
Yeah, Evan Newton, he's one who, like, he's down in USL, and he's been in MLS, but you kind of like, what is he doing down here? Why is he? And obviously, excuse me, Lindsay, if he makes, you know, if he hangs on with this club for a couple more seasons, he will rejoin the MLS ranks, but he just had a fantastic save. He's given FC Cincinnati fits in the past as a member of the Tampa Bay Rowdies, so just a great goalkeeper. He had a fantastic game, and but FC Cincinnati finished on a high note, and I think all things considered, there was some recognition that they played down to below their standard in the first half, but you know, people were pretty positive and upbeat, all things considered, coming out of it, and that just reinforced, I think, what we're talking about, which was, you know, a point gained on the road against a great team that they're probably going to see more of. I mean, they will see more of Nashville in the regular season, Lindsay, and every chance they could see them again for even further down the line after that in the playoffs. So, just on the whole, you kind of walk away from this impressed, you know? I'm surprised you and I don't get more complaints saying that we're like...
they're so positive.
Well, but, I mean, when the team is good...
They're so good.
I mean, you know, you can only poke holes for so long before you run out of things, and it's like, I feel like I do that, and I'm fair and objective in my job, and I think you are as well, but when you're a great team, you're a great team, and FC Cincinnati is a great team this year. It's not rocket science to me, but I think I promised like 5 minutes ago I'd let you get a word.
I was letting Pat talk. No, I agree with you, and what I like about this team and with Alan Koch and the players too, just talking with them, is just like they're in first place. They're a great team. They're always wanting to get better, and I know we talked about that in part one of this road trip, and that's just what's going to be so exciting to watch with this team and coming back home to Nippert. And I know they've been the road warriors too, what they've been able to do on the road, but it's going to be a fun month and a half, so you know, including the international friendly, there's going to be a full July to come and watch this team. So if you haven't been down there, highly recommend it. But I kind of want to bounce back a little bit, Pat, to halftime adjustments, just in general.
Please.
And I kind of want to compare it to the NFL team in town. I know we weren't going to throw some NFL stuff in there. I mentioned it in the first podcast, but...
No, please.
That is one thing.
It's only fitting. The game was played in an NFL stadium.
It was. So there's my similarities there. I'm connecting the two. But I actually want to go back to one of the biggest complaints that I feel like Bengals fans have. The halftime adjustments with Marvin Lewis. They feel like, and nobody's in the locker room but the players, so we really don't hear the halftime adjustments and how it all works. But people complain about how the adjustments for the Bengals, you just never see a difference in the second half, for the most
part.
Generally, yeah. And of course, some of that can depend on the position coaches. With Alan Koch and getting the privilege of being in the dressing room is really helpful, too, to kind of gain what he's talking about. But his adjustments pay off. They could be down. They've come from behind.
Yeah.
Just needing that extra boost that sometimes they would need in the dressing room at halftime, he just delivers it. It could just be individual things that he points out, and sometimes it's on the road, so we're not there in the locker room to hear it. But he's just really good at that.
Yeah.
And I know we've talked about what kind of coach he is and finding the talent and all that stuff, and you can see what he's doing already in his second year with FC Cincinnati. But I just find his halftime adjustments, and it might be a nerdy thing that I'm pulling or trying to find a comparison between the two, but it just does. Like, they could be down two goals at home, on the road, or anything, and when Allen goes in there and he talks to them, I just always feel like they're going to be fine, or he'll find a way. And credit to his staff, too.
I mean, he's a great tactician. I mean, I've been on the Allen Koch bandwagon, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty early. And, you know, I mean, the guy's just good at his job, and there's a reason he's going to be with this club next season. And he knows his tactics. He knows his players, and he knows, you know, he's got good guys in his dressing room. And we could talk for hours. Maybe we should, because we have
we have 3 hours and 34 minutes. Yeah. Update: 247 miles.
Dang. But getting closer.
Kind of going back to the player situation, and Pat, I know that you actually brought this up on Twitter this past week, and it was actually something that Allen Koch talked about a couple weeks ago with Tommy Cabot and I after we were about ready to leave training. He looked around and he goes, and this was about a month and a half ago, and he said, look at these guys. Look at them. They can leave. They're free to go. Training's over, but they're just sitting around. Some of them are taking shots. I think one day Danny Koenig was playing goalkeeper. Like, he was down there just having people take shots at him, and just, they're all just always,
it's strange.
It is. They like to be around each other, and it is amazing chemistry.
You know, it's a beautiful thing to see, but it is just strange in the fact that it's so uncommon.
You don't see it all the time, on other teams.
These kids just, they won't leave. I just call them kids because that's what comes to mind when you're watching this. They are, as soon as practice ends, no one goes to shower off. It's almost become like practice is a two-part session.
We have our own practice afterwards.
Sure, yeah. And Allen Koch is certainly watching and evaluating. Mm-hmm. And you better believe that the coaching staff is paying attention to who's out there. And, you know, if someone were to duck into the locker room early, they would notice that, you know. But like Allen said, these guys are free to go. If they're not up for actually being on the ball and practicing free kicks, or they're dribbling, or just passing to themselves against the wall. I've seen Danny Koenig do that. They are seated on the benches in the Bailey end of Nippert watching each other practice. And there's just an incredible love and passion for the game. And the bromances. And it's a little bit sickening. It's just so sweet, you know?
It's fun to watch. The chemistry. I think we're getting slap happy because we're just having a little road trip. I think that the chemistry is awesome, and you definitely see it on the field, and of course Allen Koch sees it too. But I remember this was like a month and a half ago, and even earlier in the season, the way that they've all connected. A lot of new guys on this roster. We knew that going in, so it was gonna maybe take a while, and for them it didn't. If anything, they always want to keep getting better, and they enjoy each other's company. So there's nothing better than that, being in first place and wanting to get better, and having that chemistry that FC Cincinnati currently has. And I believe when Nazmi told me after the Ottawa match that we believe we're good, but we're going to get better. We're going to be better, and that's just going to be really unbelievable. And getting the opportunity to do that, 6 USL games at home, 7 including the international friendly. So we have a fun second half coming up with this team. I still see them sitting atop the USL. I know Pittsburgh's creeping behind, and as we mentioned, they play on Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this. So it could be just an interesting matchup in the Eastern as it continues, and some new rivalries for FC Cincinnati and USL play before heading to the MLS.
There are no streetlights on this highway.
This is a little, I'm not
going to. It's a bit dark.
Side note, guys, we broke down the match, plenty to talk about, and Pat has plenty on Cincinnati.com, but we are currently driving on the back road, not a back road, this is an interstate.
Interstate 65 North.
And it's a little creepy.
There are no lights. I mean, it's not the only major roadway with no lights on it, but
I was kind of thinking that too. It got really dark.
What a pain in the neck to be out here in the dark.
I don't know. like my eyes. And yeah. I'm not even driving, so I can't complain. Pat is driving again because he's a freaking, he's a rock star. Pat. we're kind of like stuck
we're
on these lights on that
yeah.
we do not have.
No, we're.
Not a lot of energy, but.
We're running on empty, aren't we?
Just wanted to tell everybody that we have 3.5 hours to go.
Yeah.
242
miles. We're at 242 miles.
I wish this was live and you guys could call in.
I know. Oh, we could use some companionship right now, couldn't we?